What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to an all-new Dead of Summer After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are going to be breaking down Season 1, Episode 9, Home Sweet Home, and we have a very special guest Skyping in, so please stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Thank you so much for joining us for another Dead of Summer After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. Before I announce our very special guest via Skype, I have my three ladies here with me tonight.
Hey guys, I'm Renee Ariel, and you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel, and check out my blog, catslipstickla.com.
Oh, that's a cute name.
Thanks.
And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
Hey guys, my name is Amber Plaster, and you guys can tweet me your predictions at Amber Plaster.
And guys, our very special guest is none other than Elizabeth Lael. Thank you so much for being here, Elizabeth.
Yay. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You are scary as hell.
This whole episode scared me and shocked me in the best of ways. And if you guys are watching on YouTube, I know a lot of people watch us on the podcast, we're looking up at Elizabeth's screen on Skype here, so we feel like we're looking at her, so forgive us if our eyelines are a little bit weird, but that was such a scary episode.
Oh my gosh, you chopped Deb up with an axe.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that was amazing.
I guess my biggest question before we start breaking this down is, when did you know this about your character?
I've always known. I knew before we even started filming that I had this kind of like deep, dark secret. I didn't know my entire backstory, but I did know that I was like in and out of foster homes and had this element of darkness and was ultimately a killer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Can I just say, earlier on in the season, I said I thought it was so weird that your flashback gave us really nothing. And then I said I thought that maybe you were bad because you seemed so nice and that you killed your friend on purpose. But as the season went on, I wasn't sure just because the demon took over. You know, I'm like, why would the demon take over someone bad? They're already bad.
Mm. Yeah. That's awesome. You nailed it right on the head. That's awesome that you could see that. I don't think a lot of people, from what I can tell, really had no idea, because it plays pretty straightforward. You know, Amy is the very quintessential good girl in a lot of respects, so I think it was very surprising, hopefully.
It was surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought at worst she was the vessel for the demon. I didn't think that she... I kind of had a thought with the brother who was picking on her, which... Wow, that brother was so mean to you, and they had him just be so creepy, and then she got locked in the garage, and then I was like,
and then
as soon as that happened, I thought, is she doing this? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But
right, would
is,
that really happen that way?
Is this, mm-hmm. It was off. There's something off about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's really just something off about her.
Mm-hmm.
She's too perfect.
Yeah, she always seemed too sweet. And then, oh my gosh, some of the lines this episode too of like, this place will always feel like home. It's like, did you not experience the last few weeks that everyone else did?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I know.
Well, I also want to point out just that, has anyone here seen Practical Magic? Because it's one of my favorite movies.
It's been a long time, but yeah.
So, have you seen it, Elizabeth?
is that with...
It's with Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman.
Yes, it's been ages, but I have seen it.
So I guess without knowing, you totally channel Nicole Kidman, because there's a point at the end of that movie where Nicole Kidman's possessed and she's trying to get everyone to untie her, and then they like, well, and then she's like, screw you, and then, and it's super similar. You should watch it.
I will. That's exciting.
It was a lot of fun, and so we already started talking about her backstory. Let's get a little bit more into that, because, you know, we got the first episode of your backstory, so in a way, we're like, why are we getting it again?
Yeah. Well, yep. That's, you know, for the last episode, we were wondering where Blair was, so I thought, mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be Blair's backstory, and then as soon as I see Amy, we're like, well, maybe it has something to do with Blair. But I remember last week, we had Ronan on, and he mentioned that, you know, these characters pretty much don't know each other before camp, with a few exceptions of Cricket and some other people. But I was mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, so then what is it? And then so it just had my, this entire episode had my rapt attention, because I just could not tell what was happening at every moment. And then like, Jesse, ugh.
Oh, man. That, but at least she's still alive.
Yes.
Yeah. We have a lot to say about this exorcism. But when you found out, you know, as an actress about your backstory, Elizabeth, was it able to really help you kind of put the pieces together as to why you were the way that you were?
You know, I just had, when someone who... And this is me going out on a limb here. Someone who kills people. I think that I, you know, that is hard to justify as someone who does not do that. But there's also, I leaned into the writing of it, which is, you know, I think it shows in the backstory where she ends up killing the gerbil, but it's ultimately so it can be free.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, you have to look at it in some kind of positive light. So I was really happy when we got this script for this episode, because the whole time, the whole season, you know, I knew that I was being this good girl for a reason, and I knew that I was the person killing everyone as well. but I didn't quite realize why until that scene, really. I was like, oh, she just feels caged, and it's almost like her gift to people.
Wow. What a sweet gift.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just helping them out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then some people are just like bullies, and she just can't stand for it.
Yeah.
Well, gotta do what you gotta do. We had someone in the chat saying, like, no wonder they were telling Joel to kill, why Holyoke was telling Joel to kill Amy so early on. Be like, no, really?
Yeah.
We need to get rid of this girl.
And there's some mystery with Deb's backstory. I don't know if you guys picked up on that tonight. I actually don't know the full story of that. But she is somehow involved and, like, somehow knew that I was evil in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to figuring that out, because I had this crazy theory that is totally wrong now that I saw this, that you were actually Deb's child and she got pregnant and put you up for adoption.
Oh,
and...
I wish.
But I think that's only because the actresses are so similar looking. And so we were hopeful that maybe, but also, you know, Deb did exhibit vessel-like qualities that Amy had been going on. Mm-hmm. And Deb is just so confused the whole time. You're thinking, well, maybe she doesn't remember that she was possessed, and maybe she's not pure enough anymore, so it has to go on to Amy. So Deb and Amy's storyline were confusing us for a good long time. Mm-hmm. And I predicted that Deb was safe, so I was wrong. Very wrong.
We've had a couple people in the chat room ask if it was weird to kill Deb.
Oh, well, Elizabeth Mitchell is so sweet. And she was like, if you need me to be there, I'll be there. But really, when I kill Deb, when we're actually shooting it, I'm just axing at a punching bag, basically. And they just had me keep axing. They were like, just keep going.
It's probably safer.
Yeah, much safer. Yeah. So I wasn't... I didn't have to look at Elizabeth while I was like hacking at an axe. I just like used my own aggression to take it out on the mat.
Something that we've mentioned before is that this show does a really good job of not showing everything, but mm-hmm. still scaring us. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't see her get slashed to bits, but we did, you know, and this is almost an more old-fashioned way of showing horror in that you don't reveal everything. And when we were on the bus, we didn't see anything. And we, like, the whole time we were watching, we were just terrified with that blood. It's all just, it's all what you don't see because your imagination fills it in. I think this show does a beautiful job.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And, well, something they do show you going off the other end, I love how after the episodes they kind of have the behind the scenes. Mm. So speaking on how you did the axing, it was fun to see that punching bag essentially that you were whacking away at.
Mm-hmm.
Got your workout for the day, you know, your swings.
Oh yeah, it's a new hobby.
It must have actually felt really good and been really fun, I'm not gonna lie.
No, I've been saying that the whole time. I was like, man, it's really cathartic to swing an axe, and like I said, it's like I get out my own aggression. I would recommend it on a bag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With a rubber axe.
Yes.
That could be an awesome workout.
I know.
Maybe not a rubber axe, perhaps like a heavier duty one.
Yeah, the real axe is actually very heavy. Yeah. You know what I struggled with? I used a real axe every other, like when I was carrying it, and then it was a real one when I pulled it out of Chrissy's head. And they had wedged it into a wooden block. And there was one take where, for the life of me, I could not get it out of the block. I was just struggling far too long, and they had to cut and help me pull it out.
It's like at Disneyland, you know that thing?
Mm-hmm.
That
thing? Excalibur.
Yes, Excalibur. It's the sword. Yeah. The sword.
They
exactly.
have an Excalibur sword at Disneyland?
Yeah.
Yes. They only let certain people actually pull it out, but it's real cute to watch.
Yeah.
I missed that.
It's by the carousel.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they would be more than happy to have you be one of those people. I had a question, and I think this might just be something that I kind of, like, glossed over, but when she was a little girl and her family died, was that her fault? It wasn't intentional. Like, was she pure then?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
She's been... There was a whole draft of this script where you learned that she has killed her family and she moves in with her grandmother and kills her grandmother. People just kind of mysteriously die around her. And when you're a child, people aren't assuming that you're killing them. But... She was born that way with that darkness.
Ooh. Well, I think that was a really good detail in that something that Sam mentioned earlier was that, you know, there's a lot of little details in the show that have a history of their own, you know, such as, you know, passing away at 27 and having the white lighter, you know, with the overdose scene, or possibly suicide, we still don't know. But one of the things that is known for sociopaths, and specifically if you have a child who is burning things and killing small animals or torturing them, mm-hmm. It's on the path to killing and then becoming a sociopath and not. And we see immediately Tiny Amy kill things, mm-hmm. start to burn the house to the ground or experiment with fire and then mm-hmm. kill her family. So I feel like that's the hint at what's underneath Amy's skin at that point. Although we don't know. We don't know that we're actually being told that, right? But we're being shown those things. So chills again thinking about it.
I know, it's very creepy.
It really is. Did you get to meet little you ever?
Oh my gosh, I did. She was amazing. Although at first, I was really excited to meet her, and I ran up to her, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're playing me. Hi. And she didn't say anything to me. And I was like, oh, okay, bye.
Oh, she's probably nervous.
But then it turned out that she was actually a fan, and she was nervous, and then I met with her afterwards, and we took a photo, and she was so sweet. And everyone was super impressed by her. And I thought she was so cute. I wish I was like her when I was a kid.
Yeah, she did a really good job.
She was amazing.
Yeah, I was very impressed.
She had us all feeling sorry for her.
Right? Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, the two of you did. I honestly didn't know. I kind of just thought from the beginning that your character was the final girl. You know how they kind of have been using that term a lot, and they're usually the fighters, but the ones that are shy and sweet, but then they come out and, like, learn how to use their power. But that's not you. That's not what I thought.
No, Eddie and Adam and Ian really just wanted to turn all those cliches on their head a bit, I think.
Yeah, I loved it. I really did.
Quick question. You've kind of touched on it a little bit, but what was it like playing such a dark character? Because, yes, you had it the whole time. So what was it like the whole time? And then at the end when you really got to let it go?
It was so satisfying in the end when it came out. It was so satisfying. And I think that's because for so much of the series, I was playing a very similar action, which was like caring for others and trying to do the right thing and trying to make friends and figure out what's going on and making people believe that I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So it was really satisfying when her true self could come out.
I bet.
Yeah. But it's a dark headspace to live in. And, like, the demonic stuff is really creepy to me.
Yeah.
And that is, like, the scariest acting homework I've ever done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one thing to be leading this show. You're basically the female lead. You know, it's an ensemble, but I would say that Amy's character is kind of front and center. But after this episode, I just feel like your career is going to kind of take this really interesting, awesome turn because everybody can see what you can do. And I personally am probably going to go back and watch.
What do you mean? Because she played like four different characters on the show in one character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
And one of my biggest questions, too, is I'm assuming you had to keep this a secret, you and the writers from the other cast members, right?
Mm.
Well, it was in the beginning, we were all kind of looking at each other like, what's your story? What's your story? And it was pretty quickly, like on set, they would be like, oh, and you killed Dave and did this. So it came out. The whole cast knew. It would have been awesome if they were surprised. But we're together all the time. There's just no way they couldn't have known.
It's a pretty big secret to keep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we tried not to put it out on social media or hint at it or anything like that. But I told my parents.
I'm sure they were so proud.
Did you warn them ahead of time? They're like, well, there's this episode coming up.
I did. I was like, oh, and guess what? I'm the bad guy. I was very excited about it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to play the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure it is. Well, let's get into this possession exorcism situation. What a fun, you know, and it was like one long scene that was basically most of the episode for the A story, but kept it interesting. And Jesse really came out as this martyr, you know? She
proved how innocent she really was by sacrificing herself.
So good.
Well, which is also surprising because she was so mean for so much of the series.
I said like from episode one, I was like, I do not like this character. Like, I'm sure the actress is very nice. I do not like her. And it's like this episode, I was like, I like her now. And like, I'd been warming up to her for so long, but like the journey that Jesse's character went on was just so perfectly executed for me because I did not see any excuse for her being that mean.
I know.
Yeah.
Ever being vindicated. Like, I was just like, oh, you're just the worst. And like, oh, I just love her now.
Mm-hmm. She's the best.
I know. And in a way, Amy saved her life because she took the demon back into her, so.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a gold star for, I'm just trying to make a gold star for Amy.
We'll see how long that lasts for.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see how long.
I don't know how much longer everyone's going to be able to stay alive.
I know.
Yeah. I know. They've given Amy so many chances. She keeps getting like involved in these crazy situations and they keep trying to help her.
Oh my gosh, when Garrett was like, Amy, and you were like, Garrett? I was like, she's going to bite him.
Right?
No, she's back so up.
Scary. I was like, why would you go closer, Garrett? No. It's not Amy.
It's a trap.
Yeah,
it's
not. Someone in the chat said that I love that she pulled a Mike Tyson on Townie Boy.
Poor Garrett.
Yeah, what was that like? I mean, and when the demon voice came out of you, what was, like, were you, obviously, you know, it was voiced over and stuff, but how did that work while shooting it? Mm.
So, I would, I don't have, like, some amazing demon voice. I wish I did. but I would just say it with the intention. And that they would dub over it with this kind of like dark voice that I can't do. but like some of the stuff is like I had to speak Russian in this episode. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a demonic voice, except just me speaking another language.
Did you know Russian at all? Because you sounded very good.
I'm guessing you don't speak Russian.
Not at all.
No, I did not know Russian. But luckily, I had a coach on set, and Ronan Rubinstein, who plays Alex, he speaks Russian. And I was saying the line to him so he could help me. He helped me a lot, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure that's hard. What was your guys' favorite part of the exorcism scene? There's a lot of parts.
There's so many parts.
I really liked when she bit Garrett. Like, I thought that was so terrible, because he was just, like, coming closer and being so nice. I'm like, you better get out of there. And then she's, like, laughing. The blood's coming from her mouth. That was so freaky.
You know what I loved? They used the take where I spat the blood out.
Yeah.
And I just love that they used that take, because I only did that once, and I loved it.
I like two parts. I like the reveal that it was for the demon to come back into her, which that was like, oh, okay, cool. I like that. That was a good like way to twist it. And then I also just love that when everything's kind of like, before that part, everything's like kind of done and happy, and she has... You have all this blood on your face. Everyone's like, hey, no problem. And it'd be kind of like, you got a little something, you know. Let's give you a napkin.
I hate that blood. It dries all over your skin. Mm. So, there was a time where I was like, I can't move my mouth.
And you had more than just on your mouth area. You had it all everywhere. Over. What was that
soaked
like?
In blood. Oh, gosh. It's like I said, it dries. And it was like on my arms, and I couldn't bend my arms.
Oh my gosh.
Because it would stick together, and then pulling apart, it hurt. It's like getting waxed or something.
Ow. Was it cold running around? And like pretty much you have like a nighty top and it's your slip pretty much, right? Because
it wasn't terribly cold. Acting is a workout.
Yeah, probably a lot of adrenaline going on too.
Yeah, there's a lot of adrenaline, but I tend to be very cold. So between takes, like even if it's warm outside, I'm wearing a big cozy coat.
I feel like I have seen photos of you behind the scene in like parkas.
Yeah, unless it's really cold. Like Vancouver is really cold, but then other times I'm cold.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite parts of the exorcism altogether was actually right when Holyoke kind of disappears and surprisingly Jesse steps forward, which we were all kind of like, what? And it was kind of great. She was like, no one opens the door. And I was like, finally, someone's saying something that makes sense. And she was like, okay, let's figure this out. We have to bring the light. And I was like, how are you going to figure this out? And then she, just like the way that she kind of thought through everything, and then the sad realization when she's like, I kind of have to sacrifice myself because that's the purest thing that I can do in this moment. And I was just kind of like, yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. That was like my favorite little bit. And then my least favorite bit was when I came back and Garrett was tied up. And I was like, Garrett, why did you let evil Amy do that to you? Oh, like, you have to know better than that.
I know. The one thing the show really does follow on in the horror genre theme is that people do things that the viewers are like, why would you do that? Why would you ever get that close to anyone who was possessed and that sort of a thing? But Amy has like ninja powers in this episode. I loved the part where like I just like shifted my eyes and just threw them across the room.
That was my favorite part. I have in my notes. Yeah. I was like, Amy throws them each to a wall with her mind. Yeah.
That was good. Like those stunt doubles really got thrown hard. I was like, that looks really good.
Yeah, it did look really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amber, you mentioned, and it was good lead into, before we always kind of wondered, like, well, why Jesse? Why is Jesse so special? But in the end, this is why, is because she's probably the only one in the group that would have been willing to be like, well, of people who are alive, willing to sacrifice herself. So that's why she was the one in the end of, like, special.
Well, it also goes with this theme of her story that we saw last week, that she has sacrificed herself before for people that she loves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Oh, I loved her story. I mean, I don't love the situation, but...
Yeah, it really helped you understand why she has a hard time trusting people and letting people in. And I remember, you know, all you guys at the beginning, we hate her. And I was like, we're not going to hate her. I think that she's going to come around and prove herself to us. And, you know, she finally did. When we had Alberto here a couple weeks ago, we were like, who do you ship? You and Amy or like you and Jesse? Like who... Which is the better one? And so I guess their love story is over, Amy and Garrett.
Yeah, I think that's over.
Yeah, that's kaput.
Amy's with, what's this, the demon now.
Yeah. Malphus. Malphus. Yeah,
Amy's exactly. with Malphus now, so she's taken. It's Facebook official.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's so true.
That's terrifying. You know, we had a lot of fun stuff in the scene. I loved it. But we also had the other side of things, which was the bus with all the campers and Blair and Drew and Deb. And this scene, it was kind of cool because timing-wise, it was, I think, somewhat parallel to what was going on with the exorcism scene. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, like, Deb is bad. Deb knows what's going on. She knows what's going on. Mm. But... it seemed like she didn't. At the same time, I hope we get a lot more answers next week because her seeing her ex-boyfriend is never a shock to her, and he's dead and choking her, and it kind of is like, oh yeah, this happens.
You know? I viewed her ex to be one of two things: either Malphus taking form to scare her, because originally back in episodes 1 and 2, we thought that, like, for instance, when Drew saw the little girl with the balloon. Was being scared. These characters in the early episodes tend to get scared by their fears. Mm-hmm. So if she's scared of losing him or being able to be manipulated by him or maybe being killed by him, kind of like a nightmare, like how we have stress dreams and stuff like that. Sure. I assume that maybe Malphus took the form of her ex-lover and was just really just trying to stop her from getting to the cabin to help. Or what else? Yeah. What else could it be?
I know. I think you're exactly right. I think that's exactly what is going on, because the demon takes on, especially in this episode, multiple forms.
But I thought, is that the first time we have seen that? Because I know the demon can get inside of the characters and possess them.
No,
but...
because we've seen the demon in the lake before.
Yeah, but that's just like a big, that looks like a demon.
Yeah. It's really only the characters who are dead that he can use as like a mask.
Okay, so here's my thing. Then Deb, I think, is dead in some way. I don't know, because...
Oh, yeah, because I guess he does use her then, so maybe... I don't know, she's the exception to that rule, because everybody else in the next two episodes...
There's something special about Deb, just like there was with Amy.
I think there is, and I honestly, like, I can't wait to find out what that is.
Mm-hmm. They but said there's a past.
That may be a second season reveal.
Yeah. I definitely can't wait to find that out. And I really loved that we got brought back to the box. You know, that Deb is always hiding. Like, what's in the box? And this thing is still, I don't get why the... head of, I still can't ever figure out what to call it, you know, the cult mask mm-hmm. head, you know, she's seen it before, it's been in her closet, so I guess that's something that will be addressed next week, but that came out of the box. But then it was as though she's seen all this stuff for the first time.
Well, wait, no, that box was Amy's box.
It's my box, yeah.
Oh, that, okay, oh, that yeah. was your box.
So everyone then has a box.
They do. Well, because apparently. She's because when Deb's going through Amy's stuff, because that's where she finds the knife, because then we see Amy wearing the mask in the subsequent montage, so that's mm-hmm. Amy's mask. Though we never really explain why Deb has one as well.
Right. So, but I think this, that moment, and Amy even says, now do you remember why mm-hmm. you're really here? Mm-hmm. There's something about the mask, and I think Deb is probably deep down pretty evil as well.
Mm-hmm. Maybe but that's highly likely because of the mask. Because of
Yeah, for, why else would she have that mask?
And why else would she be kind or of she covering for someone with, else? Mm-hmm. Half with Joel, half normal. You know, she's had some shady behavior in earlier episodes that it's easy to forget, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you have a question, Renee?
For anyone really. So the camp closed 17 years ago. What was it? Do you guys remember?
No, I don't.
And it closed after there was an instance.
Yeah, after there was an incident.
But it wasn't the first. I mean, the one that we saw was back in the 1800s. Yes. So have we seen?
That's what I wanted to know.
Why it closed in the 70s?
So perhaps she was, maybe she feels guilty for something that happened in the 70s that she did, mm-hmm. that maybe she wore a mask at that time or she played a part in the cult. I don't know. Well,
wasn't the mask at the masquerade party for Deb's flashbacks?
Yes.
But we don't know what happened with Deb's camp, the original, version of it. No.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Because Amy also says to her, you have things to be guilty.
Yeah.
You know, for, and we still don't know what that is, so I'm very fascinated to see it. And I love that random character came back from the flashback, the one that was Margot's friend.
Yeah, me too.
Chrissy.
Yeah. And then
very
you just
brief.
took her out hard. Didn't we? Oh, just yeah. a second.
I didn't recognize her at first, and I was glad. I was racking my brain. I was like, was she somebody we saw before? And then she showed up, and I was like, oh.
And the line, the callback line was so good.
Yes, so good.
It's like, what do you think?
The Jordashes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, ha, bitch.
And then you just got to be bad. You just got to be a baddie. You just were like, I'm going to kill people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be bitchy. I'm going to do all the things. Like, you got to, like, almost unload at that moment on the show and just fully be evil Amy. And we've only seen little hints of it, so it was overwhelming and exciting.
Can I just say that when you said to your friends when they called out, like, hey, Amy, like, let's go, and you were like, I'll be right there. I wonder how long it will take to transition from, like, being drenched in blood to hang out with your friends. It seems like a little longer than be right there.
Who said she's going to clean up?
Yeah, she's not going to clean up.
She could go outside and go get them.
You think she's going to?
Yes.
It could happen.
I think she's going to fake it. I guess we'll save that for prediction.
Or she's going to play victim longer, covered in blood and get attention. Oh,
yeah,
whichever.
Be like, hey, guys, they this came. Thing happened. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. They're all not supposed to want to be at the camp anymore, right? So she's supposed to get out of there quickly. So she's either going to go and kill them, which I think makes sense, but wouldn't make for a long episode, or she's gonna play victim and like, oh, this just happened, and
yeah, but she, I mean, I don't know if she can play victim at this point, because, I mean, I think she either has to fake it completely or go out and kill them, because she just said, I'll be right there. And I feel like to go from, I'll be right there, to come out and be like, you don't know what happened, is like a little, I mean.
They were there with her. She was possessed.
As if she hasn't done that a bunch of times already.
Touche. True. Very true.
Well, I guess wait. My question is later, now we know who killed Cricket.
Yeah. And everybody else.
But how is Amy super strong at this point? Because she wasn't possessed yet?
Mm-hmm. Before.
Because then, like, when Cricket's pushed, it's kind of like superhuman strength fly. And then holding blotter down underwater, I mean, I guess if you caught someone off guard, or no, sorry, the gardener. Mm-hmm. Holding an adult male down, and you're rather petite, that,
I think it was supernatural, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're saying she's not possessed yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I also had those thoughts. this is, like, one of the magic of television kind of things. But I also think, like, the campground, because it is, like, this living, breathing, dark place that in a way it's like conspiring to help her.
Yeah, I can dig it. I like it. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I get it. Didn't bother me.
You can say, like, you know, the lake is on her side, so.
It's like energy. Well, it's, this is after you've been struck by lightning, so that's when you've gotten superpowers.
Yeah, that's what I said. And it activated you. That lightning is what activated, like, something inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it did.
Yeah. I think. It definitely did.
Well, before we get into predictions, I know that a lot of the fans have questions, and they tweeted some to us. I'm going to get it started by just asking, you know, what was it like with every... It seems like you guys became great friends, the entire cast, and it seems like you were at summer camp yourselves. Do you have any fun stories to tell, or, like, how all those relationships developed?
You know, I was really nervous in the beginning because I'm very similar to Amy.
I hope not that
are you?
Really?
Yeah, just like kind of shy and like really want to make
friends. Okay, good Amy.
Yeah, good Amy. Very
similar. Episode one Amy.
But everyone was just so kind and kind of like immediately open and very excited about the show. And we'd all just moved to Vancouver, so we were the only people we knew, and we became really fast friends. And we're still hanging out to this day. Like, I truly love so many people on the show and feel very lucky to have met them.
So no hard feelings from other campers since you've killed them? Or the counselors, I mean?
No. People enjoy dying.
It is kind of, I'm sure, a fun thing.
It's kind of a fun thing to get to act. It's like a fun scene.
Wait, that's a question. When the people who earlier were killed, if they didn't know you did it, when they filmed it, did the actor know it was your character?
They did, yeah.
Okay, cool.
But here's like a fun fact. I was not the person there doing the pushing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was never there on the day in the mask doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did really like to see, I liked Blotter's thing, though, because when we saw Blotter die, at first I thought that we saw a sense of familiarity cross his eyes before he died.
Oh, ooh. Good callback.
Yeah. So and they called it back again this episode. So I am happy that they kind of like tied that up because he saw you.
Mm. Ooh, good acting on his part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Way to go, Zach.
Yeah. He's awesome. He's so good.
I know. We love him. He came in the second week and he was just the most adorable.
Yeah.
Do we have any good questions from the chat?
A few of them have been covered. So, yeah, anybody watching live in the chat, we are pulling out your questions.
I have
questions.
A question while you scroll through the chat.
Go for it.
I have a question for Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth, you've worked with Elizabeth Mitchell. You've worked with her before on Once Upon a Time and also on Dead of Summer. If the fans were to get their way, because you have huge fans and so does Elizabeth Mitchell, and get to see you and Elizabeth Mitchell in another TV series, what genre would you like it to be off the top of your head? Because you've done fantasy and now you've done horror. If you could.
I don't know. I don't have a genre. I'm currently watching The Get Down.
I'm obsessed.
I'm obsessed with it, is Baz Luhrmann. So if Elizabeth Mitchell and I could do something with him, that would be excellent.
I would have that. Baz.
All right. We got a question speaking back on Once as well. Did you enjoy playing Anna on Once more or less than Amy on Dead of Summer?
Oh, they're completely different experiences. Completely different, even though there's a lot of similar people. Once Upon a Time was my first show, so there was, you know, it was my first job. There was, like, a lot of that excitement involved when I was working on that. And then with this, like, all the horror element, I've never done anything like that before. I really enjoyed playing both characters. I really couldn't choose.
Yeah. Those are a pretty good first couple of roles.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. You know, one of your biggest fans, Lael Fanatics, on Twitter, She asked, what it was like, what kind of advice that you had for fellow actors that were trying to do what you did? Because, it probably was just a few years ago, you were still trying to figure out how to get your first role.
Absolutely. I would really, there's so many different paths to becoming an actor that, first and foremost, I always say you just have to stay true to yourself and your work and why you do it, what it is about the art form that you love and what are you passionate about, and then stick to that. And then I went to school, and I would highly recommend that, but school's not for everyone. But I think training is really helpful and important, and the training that I received at the School of the Arts is directly linked to me having this job today. So
I bet your teachers are so proud of you.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
We got one of, so you said you're kind of like your character, Amy. So how do you separate yourself to play a murderer?
You just have to...
She's like acting.
It's not real. Yeah, it's like I'm acting. You just have to play whatever the truth is in the moment. Mm-hmm. And once that moment's gone, you let it go. So, I will be a murderer in this moment during this scene. But, once that moment's gone, then I'm just me.
What's your favorite relationship dynamic in Dead of Summer?
My favorite relationship dynamic. Interesting. I like Blair and Drew. Everyone's so serious on this show. Yeah. Is anybody ever really funny with one another? But they're really not. Everyone's very serious.
Everyone's trying to survive. We got to find out who's trying to kill us.
Cricket and Blair. We're all only 17. I'm like, there's so much life to live.
Yeah. Or you don't.
Yeah, or not. but I like Blair and Drew. I just think young romance, I'm always attracted to that.
Absolutely. And do we have any more questions? Because on that note, I have some predictions I definitely want to get off my chest.
Ooh, let's get into it.
But if there's any more here, let's
say real quick. Luckily, you didn't have to wear the mask too much, but was it hot wearing that mask?
It wasn't super hot, but you couldn't see.
Oh, that'd be bothersome.
Yeah.
That's why they stood still.
So they tell you where to look then, don't move.
Yeah, there's the one time where I'm shoveling. I just have to, that was just, muscle memory. I was like, okay, the dirt's here. The hole's here. What I loved about this episode is I felt like every time I took off my mask, I just should have, shook my hair or something.
Your makeup is flawless when it comes off.
Why is this such, an 80s, sexy moment?
You know what? It also reminded me of Emma Roberts in Scream 4.
Oh, yes.
Because she was the killer. Sorry. No one's seen it, but she was, the innocent victim the whole time. And then she, I remembered there were moments when she would take off her mask and be like, oh, wait, I'm Emma Roberts. I'm beautiful.
Okay. Okay, two last ones. One, a kind of funny question. Would you ever want to play a superhero?
Yes. Then I'd have to get in really good shape.
And then, what?
No, I was just thinking that would be good inspiration for me.
Yeah, you gotta keep, chopping that axe.
But, I just saw Suicide Squad, and I realized I much prefer the villains. I really like to watch, people who have guilt and, grapple with that guilt even though they love other people. I really liked that. I'd rather play one of the villains, I think.
And then, I can certainly see that.
Yeah, one last one. Is there any other current or upcoming projects that you can tell us about that people can look forward to seeing you in?
There's definitely some stokes in the fire, but nothing I can really talk about.
Well, that's always a good sign, though. I'm sure it's going to be something awesome. Let's get into some predictions for the finale next week, you guys.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Start off with you, Renee.
Okay, I think that we're going to learn about Deb's guilt. I'm not sure how we are now that she's dead, but I definitely think we're going to learn about it. And I think it's going to have to do with, please help me, what is her ex-boyfriend's name?
I know. I
was trying to think of that earlier today.
Yeah,
it was guy from her, the boyfriend, it's, the guy that she was.
Keith.
Okay, I think her and Keith played a bad part. And, like, were wearing the masks, were part of the cult, and I think that's why he later on killed himself. That's my only theory.
That's a good one. And you're usually right, so.
I'm not sure if I totally am with this prediction, but I like this prediction from the chat room. Someone says they predict that Garrett will die saving Jesse from Amy.
Ooh.
I like that one.
I like that one.
That's romantic. And right? Really, like, tragic.
Oh, but that's the way this show's been going.
It's true. No one's safe.
If the episode picks up right where this one leaves off, then I predict that she's going to go out with the blood.
Oof. Yeah, me too.
I don't know if she's necessarily going to be running with the axe at them, but she's not necessarily going to be like, oh no, I'm in danger, guys. Mm-hmm. She'll definitely try to get close to them, because that's been the better technique of attack, of like, let me lure you in, and then I can hit you with the axe.
I predict that we will never find out where Blair was last episode. He was just MIA. I didn't address it this episode. And I guess we'll never see his backstory. Mm-hmm. Unless it's going to happen in the finale.
Because we kind of, I guess, got a bit of a mixed one with Crickets, but it was more Crickets.
Yeah, I see. There's so much to be unanswered with Deb that could be two more episodes. Oh. We may never get to Blair's backstory.
Yeah. I'm sad there's only 10. There could be so many. Yes, I think that Amy's going to come out of there and say, oh my God, Deb was the helper. You guys, like, I've saved us all. I've killed her.
Do we think that Deb is the helper?
No, it's Amy.
Amy will say that. Okay. Amy's going to say that. Good cover. Yeah. Oh, it's excellent cover, because she'll be like, I got in a fight with Deb, and Deb was the helper and a problem all along.
Yeah, and she'll say it's over now.
Yes.
I would love for someone to figure out, like, as they're, like, sitting really close to her and everything's going fine, or for Alex and her to have a romantic moment and then for her to just kill him.
I don't think Alex is ever going to touch Amy again, that's for sure. He probably has PTSD from that sexual experience.
I would say she'd almost have to stay possessed, because she was shot multiple times, and that never really got covered again, because she's shot and she does have blood there, and I'm pretty sure if she was purely human, she'd be dead.
Yeah. I also know, because some of the other cast members that have been here have told us, like, they will be back in the finale, so we are going to be seeing a lot of ghosts. On that note, guys, we have Amber Coney coming back in next week. She was here for our first episode. We loved her so much, and we love Cricket so much that she's coming back for the finale.
That's awesome.
Yes. So, yeah, I know you can't give us any predictions, Elizabeth, but it was amazing to see your crazy side. It completely caught me by surprise. So thank you so much for being here with us. Where can everyone find you on social media for those that don't know?
I have an Instagram. It's called Eliza Boone or Eliza Boone. And then my Twitter, I think, is just Elizabeth D. Leo.
Awesome.
I think.
Cool.
I'll check. I'm actually not very good at it.
Well, that's okay. You have fans that literally have multiple fan accounts on your behalf. Right. So that is amazing. One more time.
Yes, they're amazing. Oh. They're so good at it, too.
I mean, it must feel so good to have fans like that just after a couple shows, you know, that you've been on.
Yeah, it's really been a gift. And, like, they send me so much positive, loving, encouraging energy. I just feel like I've been really lucky in that sense to, like, in the social media realm, for it to be such a positive experience is absolutely wonderful. And I hope that I can give them as much that they give me.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you to all of Elizabeth's fans and our fans. Guys, where can we find you one more time on social media?
Hey guys, I'm Renee Ariel, and you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel. And make sure you check out my new blog, catslipstickla.com. It'll be launching soon.
And you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Amber Plaster. Thanks for watching.
And guys, don't forget to hashtag ABTVDOS, ask us questions. You can find me, Sam Davidson, samdavidsonentertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram, at SamD43. Thank you again, Elizabeth. You are amazing.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. We will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.